Well, some of you were probably here last week, and some of you probably weren't here last week. And so just so we can start on the same page this morning, we began a series last week called Running on Empty. And we recognized that as we live our lives, for a lot of us, we feel like each day we're continually running. We're going from one task to the next, one thing to the other. And by the time we get home at night, it's like just get through dinner and put our feet up or whatever it is, because we're continually bombarded. We're continually tired. And we just feel like our personal lives are kind of running on fumes. And so for the next 6 weeks, we said last week that we would start a study and recognize together that God's plan for his people was not that we live just to survive, was not that we just kind of barely make it through every day, but instead, God has promised to all of his church and to all who call upon Jesus as the Lord of their lives, the Holy Spirit. And the whole point of the Spirit was to give us power, to give us life, to give us fulfillment, to allow us to live a life where we're not barely surviving, where we're not just running on empty, but instead our lives are overflowing with the presence of Christ, where we're overflowing with life and with fulfillment and with joy. Last week, we talked about this recognition that our sins, that our sinful nature is kind of like this ball and chain, and we have this tendency to drag it around with us. And our past and everything that we've done, it just kind of becomes this weight of condemnation and this guilt. And that can be a very huge contributor towards living a life where we just say, I've got no energy. I can't put up with all this. I can't carry around everything I've done over my whole life. Last week we said we don't have to, because Christ has set us free. Because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And so last week was about finding fulfillment in our freedom in Christ. This week, I'm going to invite us to take a bit of a journey together, thinking about our minds. Our minds, I've said this before, on the average, we think about 10,000 thoughts on a daily basis. And our mind is an incredibly powerful organ of our body. Our mind has the potential to keep us up all night, just kind of spinning and worrying and thinking about different things. And our mind allows us to do great things at work. Our mind inspires us to head in these directions. Our mind is filled with fear or worry or inspiration, or you fill in the blank. Our minds are powerful. And I don't think anyone here would dispute that. However, as our passage is going to reveal to us today, our mind carries with it the potential to either fill our lives to overflowing with the presence of Christ, or our minds have the opportunity to completely drain us. And our minds can leave us in this place of spiritual bankruptcy where we say, I've got nothing left to give. And so we're going to look together at the power of our minds, the fulfillment or the emptiness that can come, determined by what thought process, which direction we choose to take our thoughts. And so we're quick to define our Christian life by what we can see, by what people observe within us. Maybe we serve down in the kitchen, or we help out in the community, or we're a part of a life group, and we think to ourselves, well, that must be what a good Christian looks like. And yet as we read the scriptures, and as we think together about how God would define a child of God, much of our lives in God's eyes is defined by who we are inside, by the thoughts we think that no one else recognizes, by the attitudes of our heart that no one else realizes. And so today we learn together that there is great power in our mind, and God is concerned about our mind. But even beyond that, there is a battle, friends. There is a battle between good and evil, and they both want permanent residency within your mind. It's a struggle, and we're going to learn together about the pros and cons of each and what the Lord would have us do and how we can find fulfillment through our thoughts. If you will turn with me to the book of Romans, the study is working through Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read together verses 5 through 17. So turn there with me if you will. Romans 8, beginning at verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But by the Spirit, if you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we might also share in his glory. And so I want us to think primarily this morning on verses 5 through 11, and this whole idea of control, and these two natures, the sinful nature, and then life by the Spirit. And I would start this morning by saying that the focus of our minds reveals what controls our hearts. It's pretty straightforward, and yet I think it makes sense. As we think every day, day in and day out, what am I thinking on? What am I meditating about? What is it that seems to continually consume my thoughts each and every day? That then will show us, that then will dictate what's truly controlling our hearts. It's no different than being in a conversation with someone and recognizing what always comes up. For some people, they have great passions and great joys, and those are the things that bring them most pleasure within their lives. In the same way, our thoughts reveal to us, and whatever it is that continually is consuming our minds, that will then show what's controlling our hearts. Now, I think we're pretty quick to say this morning that I've got control over my thoughts. I can think, you know, these thoughts here, and I can think about God here, and maybe I'll let my mind wander in a path that's probably not as healthy as it could be, but it's kind of like fishing. I can reel these thoughts back in, and it won't affect me anymore, and then I'll go over here, and we kind of think to ourselves, I can think what I want, and if a little bit of these thoughts fall into who I am, no big deal. And we think to ourselves oftentimes that we can control what we think. But this passage doesn't say that. It says, we don't control our thoughts. Rather, our thoughts control us. And so there's tremendous power in whatever it is that we choose every single day to fix our mind upon. There's tremendous power if we choose to allow the sinful nature, to allow everything of this world to be the continual obsession of our mind. For some people, all their mind does is spin, think, work about how they can get ahead in this world or how they can achieve this or make more or sell this, buy this, whatever it might be. And that's all they ever think about. For other people, their mind is playing this continual comparison game. Well, if they have this, then I should have this. And they're continually locked into this earthly mindset of life here in this world. And that controls them. For other people, their minds head down this pathway of pride that all they think about wherever they are, whether they're with their friends or with their families, how they think their life is actually a couple rungs up the ladder better than everyone else in the room. And then they go home and talk about it saying, yeah, but you know, they have this, but we have this. And so our mind has tremendous power. And if your mind could, like a computer, present to us all a printout of all of our thoughts, of everything that we thought on a given day, 10,000 little bullet points, I wonder what we would say about each other's thoughts. I'm sure we would be surprised. I'm pretty certain that we would have a pretty good idea as to what controls our lives. As we read the scriptures, as we consider Romans 8, it's pretty straightforward. The mind controlled by the sinful nature is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit, Paul says, is life and peace. Now, I think oftentimes, as we live here on this earth, and as we think to ourselves, recognizing that heaven is in store for those who call upon Jesus as their Savior, and that's some future reward for all of those who follow Jesus, and also hell is a place reserved for those who chose not to follow Christ, and that's some future consequence, we're quick to say, as followers of God, that those are things that we would not realize here in this earth, but just someday, somewhere, somehow, that will all work itself out. And that's how our mind thinks. But that's not what Paul says here. Paul says, if we allow our minds to be controlled by the sinful nature, if we allow our thoughts to spiral down this worldly path where all we're consumed with is I, me, my, sin, whatever it might be, and we become paralyzed and in bondage to these sinful thoughts, Paul says, that's not some future death down the road when your life ends here on earth. That's death today. And that's a death, friends, where we find that we are drained, where we find we are empty, where we find we are in desperate need of fulfillment because nothing in and of that satisfies. But if we say, you know what? Enough of that. I do not want to live a life continually being controlled by the sinful nature. I want to live a life controlled by the Holy Spirit. If we say that together, friends, that doesn't lead to some life and peace that we're going to realize at the end of this earthly existence. That's life and that's peace for today. And so we must recognize that according to Paul, and according to this passage, it's not some future consequence, it's a current reality. So, the things we choose to think on will not affect us tomorrow or the next day or the next. They will affect us right now. And one stream is going to lead towards personal emptiness, personal void, and ultimately death within our hearts and our spirits. And the other will lead us to life and lead us to peace. And so if we're running on empty and we're saying, you know what, I'm tired and I just feel like my life is barely able to move forward, maybe one of the reasons we could identify together is because the thoughts of our mind are draining our spiritual tank. Maybe it's because we allow our mind to head in directions it should never head. And because we do not take captive every thought, because we do not harness in our mental capacity, that then allows us to live each day just tired, just wondering why even live. Because we choose not to live with a mind controlled by the Spirit. Now, when we say that together, mind controlled by the Spirit, I think a lot of us say, well, you know, I'd like some Holy Spirit in my life because I want to make sure I go to heaven and I want to live a good life. But to actually say I'm controlled by the Spirit, that seems a little extreme to me. And we actually try to live this double-dipping Christianity where we have like a little bit of Spirit and then a little bit of the world. And we want some of each into how we live our lives. And I think we have to remember when we take that approach to our life, what James says. James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so if we try to live our lives without jumping full board into this world or full board into Christianity, instead try to kind of walk the fence and make sure we have a little bit of both and just kind of live this mediocre life, the scriptures make it very clear there's no stability in that. There's no life to be found in that. I'll never forget my junior year in basketball tryouts for the team at Linden Christian. I was playing, and I'd played basketball since I was like 4 years old. And the first week of practice, to be honest, I really didn't try that much. And I thought to myself, we'll be fine. You know, we'll set the teams and everything's going to work out just fine. And so I kind of showed up and just kind of went through the motions. And then there were some younger kids who were like freshmen and sophomores who helped pull me out of the snow when my truck got stuck. I told that story a couple weeks ago. But these kids, they showed up to practice and they were practically puking at the end of every practice, working as hard as they could. And there were some of us upperclassmen who were just kind of in it for fun and we weren't really giving all of who we were to practice. And there was, I'll never forget, outside that little weight room in the Lenin Christian Gym, Coach Wolfus and Coach Fakima came and talked to us. And there was a group and they said, you guys need to listen. And you need to understand something here. If you're not willing to give 100% of who you are every single day you show up for practice, then we honestly as coaches don't want you on this team. And if you're just going to go through the motions and simply show up and really have little capacity to care and be a part of it, there's some underclassmen who are working a whole lot harder than you who desperately want to have spots on the varsity team. And you know what? They can take your place and we will be just fine without you. But we as coaches have to have people on the team who are completely committed to the very fiber of who they are as athletes. And that really stunned a couple of us because we were like, what? We've been playing since we were this big. We deserve to kind of get our spots on the team and we're entitled to it. And that was how our minds thought. I think oftentimes in the church, we think to ourselves, I've grown up within the church. I've been raised my whole life learning about the scriptures. I've been a part of a life group or Sunday school class or ministry here within the church. I can just kind of put my spiritual life on cruise control, have some spirit in me, but a little bit of fun and flesh too, and I should be fine. Friends, if that's our attitude, Coach Jesus would come before us this day and say, shame on you. I need people on my team who are going to give 100% of who they are. And the Christian life cannot afford to have half-committed Christians. Jesus wants all or nothing. He doesn't want part. And so it's simply not an option to say, you know what, I don't want to be controlled by the Spirit. I would rather just have a little Spirit within me. It's kind of an you're all in or you're out sort of thing. And so I wonder this morning, what's controlling your life? There's a story told of two people, a father and a son, Dick and Rick Hoyt. Maybe some of you have heard this story. Dick, the father, his son Rick was born with a disability and loved running but was never able to run. Loved all these different sports and opportunities in life to do different things. Yeah, they're perfect, Ken. But he was never able to do it. And his dad wanted to fulfill his handicapped son's dreams. And so dad started running marathons, pushing his son everywhere they went. And then they did triathlons together. And dad would actually pull a raft of his son in that raft and he would pull him along and dad would do all the work and he would pull him along and then they would do this bike race and the picture there where he's got him, or that's the running one, but there's a two-person bike. And so all these different events that father and son did together, dad was doing all the work and the son was along for the ride because he wasn't able to compete. Then eventually he rode bike across the entire country to raise money and awareness for his son's disabilities. But here's the reason I share this story. Not to point out teamwork or to talk about Rick's handicap or any of these things, but to recognize this. In every one of our lives, there's someone pushing and someone else riding. There's someone doing all the work, putting in all the effort, the person completely in control, and there's someone else along for the ride. And as we consider Christianity, and as we consider a life controlled by the Spirit or by the flesh, we must ask ourselves an incredibly difficult question. In our lives, who's in control? In our lives, who's pushing who? Are we saying we want God to be a part of our lives, but we're really just pushing Him along and we don't want to give Him the reins of control in our lives? Or is our attitude one that says in every situation, in all things, God empowers me. God controls me. God moves me along and I will go with my life wherever the Spirit leads. And it all starts with our minds because the focus of our minds reveals what controls our hearts. And so I wonder this morning, what is it that your mind continually meditates upon. Secondly, the natural tendency of all of humanity, and this is pretty straightforward too, is to be controlled by the flesh and not by the spirit. Because of our sinful nature, because of the handicap of sin we have all been born with, our tendency is not to live spirit-filled lives, but to live fleshly saturated lives. And what does Romans teach us here about the life controlled by the flesh? In 8 verse 5, it says it's self-absorbed. It thinks only about my needs. I, me, my. There's no consideration for those around us. It's not obedient to Christ, to God's teachings, Romans 8 verse 7 says. And there's complete disregard when our minds are controlled by the flesh for what the scriptures say. And so if you live your life and you say, I really don't care what the Bible says, pretty solid indicator that we're not controlled by the Spirit. It even says here in the 7th verse that it's hostile towards God. And everything our sinful nature focuses on is in contradiction and it's contrary to the will and plan of God. And finally, Romans 8 verse 8, the sinful nature cannot please God. So whether there's a little bit of it or a lot of it within us, it's in direct contradiction and it can't even please our Creator. And so, you might hear that this morning and something within you makes this really big gulp. And you think, there's far too much of that within me. And I stand here before you this morning saying, friends, I'm not there either. And so what do we do with this? What do we do recognizing that the sinful nature easily entangles us? What do we do? We do what Paul does. We do what the scriptures say. And in the 7th chapter of Romans, right before this, he says, who can save me from this wretched body of death? Then he goes straight to Christ. But praise be to God, because Christ has made a way for me to be set free. And so when we come to a place where we recognize together that sin has far too much of an influence on our hearts and our minds and our lives than it should, the question then becomes, do we come running to the cross of grace or do we go running from the cross? Do we go running to the cross saying, God, I need cleansing. I need forgiveness. I need to be washed anew. My thoughts are not pure and I need to receive more of the Spirit within me. Or do we say, you know what? This is just a sign again where I don't need Christ and how's he ever going to love me with this? No different than what we talked about last week. Conviction versus condemnation. Condemnation from the enemy pushes us further and further and further from God. But the conviction from the Holy Spirit says you have to run to the cross, for that's the only place to be made new. And my prayer for us is what Ephesians 4 talks about. It says that we all need to be made new in the attitudes of our minds. We need a mind transformation. We need to be made new, that passage says, so that our minds are just like the mind of Christ. How do we do that? The scriptures also say that we take every thought captive. That we make sure in our lives we ask the question, is this thought that I'm thinking right now, is it entertaining my fleshly nature or is it in obedience to the Spirit of Christ? And if we think a thought and we're like, whoa, that's taking me down a road that's not the road I need to be going down, we take it captive and we say, God, this is not what I need to be thinking on. I ask that you would forgive me of this and put me back on the path of life. And it takes work, and it takes time, but we must recognize, friends, that we cannot afford to continually walk down this thinking path, this mind journey that would ultimately not lead to death, but be death today. We're called to walk the path of life and of peace. And so finally, there's power. There's power in aligning your mind with the Holy Spirit. The key text of this entire part that we worked through today is verse 11. And verse 11 says this, and if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead, if that same Spirit is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit of him who lives in you. So, the same Holy Spirit that allowed Jesus Christ to come to this earth to carry all of our sins down that road and that journey to the cross and then to find freedom from those sins, that same Spirit that allowed Christ to find victory at the cross dwells within you and it dwells within me. And in that, we can find victory in our minds. In that, we recognize that there is incredible power in a mind completely committed to being controlled by the Holy Spirit. I want to read to you just a couple of sentences here. This is a book from Richard Foster called Freedom of Simplicity. And this is what he says here. He says, "What we have failed to see is this amazing paradox. True self-fulfillment comes only through self-denial. There is no other way. The most certain way to miss self-fulfillment is to pursue it. He who finds his life, Jesus says, will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." It is wonderful, this losing of oneself through a perpetual vision of the holy. We are catapulted into something infinitely larger and more real than our petty existence. A blazing God consciousness frees us from self-consciousness. It is freedom, it is joy, and it, Richard Foster says, is life. And so it's finding this way within our lives to recognize that ultimate fulfillment is found in denying ourself. That ultimate true joy is found in recognizing that God's existence is far greater than my or your existence and saying, I'm signing up for that. I want some of that power that raised Jesus Christ from the cross. I need that in my life because the storms I'm facing right now with a family member or in my marriage or in my work situation, that doesn't need some personal little eye power. That needs the power of God to get me through. And if that's our heart today and we say together, you know what, I've tried it on my own and I recognize that my life is empty. I can't do it. There's no strength, no power, no guts within me to do it. Then we have to recognize together that a life controlled by the sinful nature simply doesn't work. It leaves us frustrated. It leaves us in complete contradiction to God. But a life controlled by the Spirit, this is the only life that can bring true life and true peace. And so I wonder this morning, what's controlling your life? Are your thoughts controlled by the Spirit, or are your thoughts controlled by the sinful nature? We cannot afford to be like me my junior year in high school and just kind of be along for the ride. If we want to be consumed by the Spirit, it doesn't mean carrying a little bit of Holy Spirit with us while we're in control of our lives. It means saying, Holy Spirit, have control. Because the benefits, friends, are tremendous. God promises His peace. And we live in a world where there is no peace. We live in a world where there is anger, where there is fighting, where there is killing, where there are homes being separated, where relationships are like this all the time. And yet Jesus says, if you allow your mind to be controlled by my Spirit, there will be peace. Not someday, peace right now. And furthermore, if you allow your mind to be controlled by my Holy Spirit, that will bring the life that will allow your personal spiritual tank to be overflowing with energy. Let me just finish with this. There would be two very different agendas, I believe, put together in someone's day planner as to how a life controlled by the Spirit would live and how a life controlled by the flesh would live. And oftentimes when our mind is controlled by the flesh, we find ourselves running around doing so many things that in the scope of eternity really have no benefit to them. And so we must also ask ourselves, in my hourly, daily, weekly, monthly schedule, does how I spend my time reflect an individual controlled by the Spirit of God, or does my schedule reflect someone simply controlled by my fleshly nature? And then to begin to make changes. Be willing to say, this is good and it's fun and it's neat, but honestly, I don't need that in my life to find fulfillment. My fulfillment is found in being controlled by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And as we're controlled by the Spirit, Jesus promises that the fruit of the Spirit is what we're going to see. And so as we allow the Spirit to take full residence and permanent control of our minds, there's going to be a whole lot more love within your heart. There's going to be a fair bit more joy and peace and patience and goodness and gentleness and selflessness and faithfulness and self-control. And all of these are going to be the fruit that begin to define our lives. And so the question is, are you willing to let the Spirit control your mind? Are you willing to begin to take steps to let this be what defines you? Because remember what Jesus said. He said, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor any bad tree good fruit. We will be known by the fruit we produce. And my prayer for us all is that we would produce spiritual fruit and the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because it started with our minds being controlled by the Spirit. Our 10,000 thoughts each and every day offer to us 10,000 opportunities to be either controlled by the flesh or controlled by the Spirit. What will control your mind this week? Pray with me. Jesus, I thank you that your Holy Spirit promises to provide life and peace. God, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is something that you don't want us just to have as an aside in our life or as an accessory, but something that completely controls us, that drives us, that fuels us, that energizes us, that impassions us, Lord, and that indwells us to head in a direction to further your kingdom. Father, I stand up here this morning recognizing that our mind can, if not harnessed, if not taken captive, can just run in so many directions. And an undisciplined mind, Father, is a dangerous thing. And so, Lord, I pray this morning here at First Reformed Church that by the power of your Spirit, that we would say together, we want our minds to be made new. Lord, that we would confess before you this morning that our thoughts have been controlled by the sinful nature. And maybe we say today, enough is enough. Holy Spirit, come have control of our minds. And even as Richard Foster says, that through self-denial and denying our sinful nature, that's where true fulfillment is found. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that within every mind here, that you would take complete residency. And I pray, Lord, for the willingness of every heart here today to say, Holy Spirit, have control of my mind. And Lord, I pray that as we make those decisions, that love would replace hate within our lives. Lord, that joy would replace frustration or even depression. Lord, that peace would replace any division, Lord, or confusion. And Lord, that patience would replace this just edginess and want things right away and this impulsiveness. And so, Lord, I ask for more of your Spirit within our hearts and especially within our minds this day. For we recognize, Father, that there is a direct fruit from that, and that's life and peace. And as we come before you today, Lord, maybe some of us saying, I'm running on empty and I need much more of something within our lives, Lord. The answer of what we need can only be found in you. And so forgive us today, Lord, for going to wells, drinking water that cannot satisfy. And so, Jesus, I pray that we would be a church this morning that wants to drink deep from you, the living water, the one whom, if we come to you, saturate our lives in your presence, that we will never leave thirsty again. And so, Jesus, I want to be a pastor who drinks deep only from you. And I know that so many of us here today, that's our prayer as well. And so I just ask, God, that we would drink from the living water of Jesus Christ. And so take our lives, all that we are, and may they be consecrated. May they be set apart. May they be lives that are Spirit-filled. And may they be lives that are controlled by minds that are Spirit-filled. And so, Jesus, I thank you that you have called us to be your children. And I thank you that where our thoughts run wild in directions they ought not, there is grace and there is forgiveness and there is mercy and there's an opportunity to wash our minds and be made new. And so for some of us, Lord, this is a morning to run to the cross. Run to the cross and see the forgiveness, the freedom that can be found through the grace of our Savior. And so, Lord, I ask that you would purify us from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I pray that you would cleanse us from heading in a direction that our lives are never intended to go. And Lord, that we would not be controlled by our natural, sinful desires, but instead we would choose to live Spirit-controlled lives. Mm-hmm.